The gospel of truth is joy to those who have received from the Father of truth the gift of knowing him by the power of the Word, who has come from the fullness, and who is in the thought and the mind of the Father. This is he who is called the Savior, since that is the name of the work which he must do for the redemption of those who have not known the Father. For the name of the gospel is the disclosure of what had been hoped for, since that is what those who seek him come to discover as a result of the creation seeking him out from whom it had come. You see, the creation had always existed inside of him, that illimitable, inconceivable one, who is superior to every single thought. This lack of understanding about the Father brought about terror and fear, and terror grew dense like a fog, such that no one was able to see. Because of this blindness, error became strong. Error kept on fashioning its material substance vainly, because it was ignorant of the truth. Error assumed an artificial form while it was preparing, in power and in beauty, the counterfeit image of truth. This, therefore, was not a disgrace to that illimitable, inconceivable one, for these were as nothing. This terror, and this forgetfulness, and this figure of falsehood, whereas the established truth is unchanging, untroubled, and complete in its beauty. For this reason, do not be concerned by error. Because error was never grounded in anything, it lingered in a fog with regard to the Father. It fully engaged itself in the preparation of works and forgetfulnesses and fears, such that by these works it might subdue those of the middle part and take them captive. The forgetfulness of error was never made known. It did not become a light equal to that of the Father. Forgetfulness never existed with the Father, although it did owe its existence to him. What exists in him rather is knowledge, which was made plain so that forgetfulness might be eliminated, and they might come to recognize the Father. Forgetfulness, you see, came into existence because of their lack of knowledge concerning the Father. So if at that point they do come to know the Father, from that time forward, forgetfulness will cease to exist. This is the gospel of him whom they seek, which he has revealed to the perfect ones through the mercies of the Father, as the mystery that had been hidden. Jesus, the Anointed One. Through Jesus, he enlightened those who were held in darkness by forgetfulness. He gave them both an understanding and a path to follow. That path, you see, is the truth which he revealed to them. For this reason, error was up in arms against Jesus. It beleaguered him and was troubled by him, so it brought him to powerlessness. He was nailed to a tree, where he became a fruit of the knowledge of the Father. He did not, however, destroy them because they ate of this fruit. Rather, he caused those who ate of this knowledge to be joyful because of this their discovery. And as for him, he found these to be within himself, and they found him to be within themselves, that illimitable, inconceivable one, that perfect Father who made the creation, in whom the creation exists, and the one whom the creation lacks, being that he has set aside within himself for their perfection that which he had not yet bestowed upon the creation. The Father was not jealous. What jealousy indeed could there be between him and his own body? For even if the Eternal Ones had received their perfection earlier, they would have been powerless to approach the perfection of the Father, because he had retained their perfection within himself, giving it to them at last as a path to return to him, and as a knowledge that is unique in its perfection. He is the one who arranged the creation, and is the one in whom the creation has always existed. He is also the one whom the creation has always lacked. As one of whom some are without knowledge, he yearns for them who do not yet know him to learn to love him. For what does the creation lack if not the knowledge of the Father? Slowly and in complete silence, Jesus became a guide. In the midst of a school, he came and spoke the word as a teacher. Those who were wise in their own thinking came to put him to the test, but he showed them up as foolish people. They despised him because in truth they were not wise. After these there came also the little children, those who possessed the knowledge of the Father. When these children grew strong, the various aspects of the Father's face were revealed to them. These, therefore, came to know, and hence they were known. They were glorified, and they gave glory. The living book of the living was made manifest within their hearts, that book which had been written in the thought and the mind of the Father, and which, from before the foundation of the creation, had existed in that part of him that is incomprehensible. This is that book which no one found possible to take, since it was reserved for him who was to take it to be slain. No one was able to come forth from those who believed in salvation as long as that book had not been revealed. For this reason, the compassionate and faithful Jesus was patient in his sufferings until he took that book, since he knew that his death meant life for many. It is just as in the case of a yet unopened will, because the estate of the deceased homeowner remains hidden. Thus it is in the case of the creation, which had been hidden as long as the Father of the creation remained invisible and distinctly himself, he in whom every space has its origin. For this reason Jesus appeared. He took that book on as his own. He was nailed to a cross. He affixed the edict of the Father to the cross. What an incredible teaching this is! He humbles himself even to death, though he is clothed in eternal life. By stripping himself of these perishable rags, he clothed himself in incorruptibility, which no one could possibly take from him. Having entered into the desolate region of fears, he traveled on ahead of those who had been stripped by forgetfulness, being both knowledge and perfection, declaring the things that are in the heart of the Father, so that he became the wisdom of those who had received instruction. But those who are to be taught, the living who are written in the book of the living, come to learn these things for themselves, receiving teachings from the Father, and turning to him once again as before. Because the perfection of the creation exists within the Father, it is essential that the creation be raised unto the Father. Therefore, if one has this understanding, he acquires what belongs to him and draws it to himself. And because he who is ignorant is also deficient, it is a colossal deficiency, since he lacks the very thing that would allow him to be made perfect. And because the perfection of the creation exists within the Father, it is not only necessary for the creation to ascend to him, but also for each one to procure the things that are his. He wrote these things beforehand, having prepared the way for them to be given back to those who came from him. Those whose names he knew first were called last, so that the one who has knowledge is the one whose name the Father pronounces. For the one whose name has not been spoken is without knowledge. Indeed, how shall one come to hear if his name has not been spoken? Whoever therefore remains ignorant until the end is a creation of forgetfulness, and will perish along with it. If this is not the case, explain why these wretches have no name. Why do they lack utterance? If one therefore has this knowledge, he is from above. If this one is called, he hears it. He replies to it. He turns and faces him who called him, and ascends unto him, having come to know what he himself has been called. And because he possesses this knowledge, he submits to the will of him who summoned him. His desire is to please him, and in so doing he finds the place of rest. Thus is his particular name bestowed upon him. He therefore who is destined to receive this knowledge comes to an understanding both of his origins and of his destiny. He comes to know it as a person who, though having once been intoxicated, nonetheless has turned from his drunkenness, and having recovered himself, has restored what is his own. Jesus has turned many away from error. He entered before them into their own places, those from which they departed when they erred, on account of the depth of him who encompasses every place, whereas there is nothing which encompasses him. It was a wonder in itself that they existed within the Father without knowing him, and that they were able to depart from him on their own accord, since they were neither able to contain him nor recognize him, in whom they had always been. For indeed his will had not yet come forth from him. For he revealed it as a knowledge with which all its emanations agree, namely, the knowledge of the living book, which he revealed to the eternal ones at last as his letters. He demonstrated to them that these letters were not merely vowels nor consonants, so that one might read them and think of something devoid of meaning. Rather, he demonstrated that they are letters which convey the truth. They are articulated only when they are understood. Each letter is a perfect truth, like a perfect book, for they are letters written by the hand of the Unity, since the Father wrote them for the Eternal Ones, so that they might come to know the Father by means of his letters. Seeing that his wisdom mediates on the word, and his teaching articulates it, his knowledge becomes revealed. His honor rests as a crown upon it. And because his joy agrees with it, his glory exalts it. It has revealed his image. It has obtained his rest. His love took bodily form around the word, and his trust embraced it. Thus the word of the Father goes forth into the creation, being the fruit of his heart and the expression of his will. The word supports the creation. It chooses and also takes on the form of creation, purifying it and causing it to return to the Father and the Mother, this Jesus of the utmost sweetness. The Father uncovers his bosom, which is the Holy Spirit. He reveals his hidden self, which is his Son, so that through the compassion of the Father, the Eternal Ones may come to know him, finish their exhausting search for the Father, and rest themselves in him, knowing that this is what is meant by rest. After he had completed what was incomplete, he did away with its form. The form of it is the world, that which was incomplete, and which they had been serving. For where there is envy and strife, there is an incompleteness, but where there is unity, there is completeness. Now because this incompleteness came about because they did not know the Father, when they do come to know the Father, incompleteness from that time forward will cease to exist. As one's ignorance dissolves when he gains knowledge, and as darkness disappears when light appears, so also incompleteness is done away with by completeness. We can be certain that from that time forward mere form will no longer show itself, but will be dissolved in fusion with the Unity. Though for the time being their works lie scattered, in their season the Unity will fill all the empty spaces. By means of unity, each person will come to understand themselves. By means of knowledge, it will purify itself of diversity with a view towards unity, devouring matter within itself like fire, and darkness by light, death by life. Indeed, because these things have happened in each of our lives, it is fitting for us, surely, to give thought to the creation, so that the house may be holy and silent for the sake of the Unity. It is like people who have moved out of a certain neighborhood. If they should happen to have some dishes around that are no longer good, they typically break them. But the householder does not consider it to be a loss. Rather, he celebrates, for instead of those defective dishes, he has some which are entirely perfect. This illustrates the judgment that comes from above and has judged every man. It is a drawn, two-edged sword, cutting on both sides. When it appeared, namely the Word, who exists within the heart of those who articulate it, not merely as a sound, mind you, but rather as the Word become flesh, a tremendous disruption broke out among the dishes. Some, you see, were made empty, while others were filled. Some were provided for, while others were removed. Some were purified, while others were broken. All the empty spaces were shaken and troubled. These were neither sound nor stable. Error itself became disturbed, not knowing what it should do. It was distressed, and it lamented. It was at a loss because it was devoid of knowledge. When knowledge, which is its downfall, drew near to it with all of its emanations, error was found to be wanting, since there exists nothing within it. When truth appeared, all of its emanations recognized it. They personally greeted the Father with a power that is entire and which unites them with the Father. For each one loves truth, because truth is the very mouth of the Father. His tongue is the Holy Spirit, which unites him with the truth, attaching him to the mouth of the Father by means of his tongue at the moment he is to receive of the Holy Spirit. This is the revelation of the Father, which he has given to his eternal ones. He has revealed his hidden self and expounded it to them. For who is it that exists, if not the Father alone? All the spaces are, in fact, his own emanations. They came to know that they stemmed from him as children from a perfect man. They recognized that they had not previously received a form, nor yet a name, but that every name and every form is produced by the Father. If at that time they receive only the form of his knowledge, though truly they exist within him, they actually do not recognize him. But the Father is perfection itself. He knows every space within himself. If he should desire it, he reveals whomever he wishes by giving him a form and by giving him a name. Indeed, he gives him both a name and causes him to come into being. Those who do not yet exist are unaware of him who created them. I am not suggesting that those who do not yet exist are nothing, but they exist in him who will desire that they come into being at whatever time he pleases, like something that is meant to happen. For one thing, the Father knows before anything is ever revealed what he is going to produce. For another, the fruit which has not yet been revealed does not know anything, neither yet is it anything. Therefore, each space which exists within the Father comes forth from the existent one, who has himself established it from the non-existent. He who does not exist at all will never exist. What then would the Father have him think? I am likened to the shadows and the phantoms of the night. In the morning, this one recognizes that the fear he went through was an illusion. Thus were they ignorant of the Father. He is the one whom they did not see. Since there had been this fear and this confusion and a lack of confidence and double-mindedness and division, there were many illusions which were conceived by him, the foregoing as well as empty ignorance, as if they were fast asleep and found themselves a prey to troubled dreams. Either there is a place to which they flee, or they lack strength as they come, having pursued unspecified things. Either they are involved in inflicting blows, or they themselves receive bruises. Either they are falling from high places, or they fly off through the air, though they have no wings at all. Other times it is as if certain people were trying to kill them, even though there is no one pursuing them, or they themselves are killing those beside them, for they are stained by their blood. Until the moment when they who are passing through all these things, I mean they who have experienced all these confusions, awake, they see nothing, because the dreams were nothing. It is thus that they who cast ignorance from them as sleep do not consider it to be anything, nor regard its properties to be something real, but they renounce them like a dream in the night, and they consider the knowledge of the Father to be the dawn. It is thus that each one has acted, as if he were asleep during the time when he was ignorant, and thus he comes to understand as if he were awakening. And happy is the man who comes to himself and awakens. Indeed, blessed is he who has opened the eyes of the blind. And the Spirit came to him in haste when it raised him. Having given its hand to the one lying prone on the ground, it placed him firmly on his feet, for he had not yet stood up. He gave them the means of knowing the knowledge of the Father and the revelation of his Son. For when they saw it and listened to it, he permitted them to take a taste of and to smell and to grasp the beloved Son. The Son appeared, informing them of the Father, the illimitable One. He inspired them with that which is in the mind, while doing his will. Many received the light and turned towards him. But material men were alien to him, and did not discern his appearance nor recognize him, for he came in the likeness of flesh, and nothing blocked his way because it was incorruptible and unrestrainable. Moreover, while saying new things, speaking about what is in the heart of the Father, he proclaimed the faultless word. Light spoke through his mouth, and his voice brought forth life. He gave them thought and understanding and mercy and salvation and the spirit of strength derived from the limitlessness of the Father and sweetness. He caused punishments and scourgings to cease, for it was they which caused many in the need of mercy to stray from him in error and in chains. And he mightily destroyed them and derided them with knowledge. He became a path for those who went astray, and knowledge to those who were ignorant, and a discovery for those who sought, and a support for those who trembled, a purity for those who were defiled. He is the shepherd who left behind the 99 sheep which had not strayed, and went in search of that one which was lost. He rejoiced when he had found it, for 99 is a number of the left hand which holds it. The moment he finds the one, however, the whole number is transferred to the right hand. Thus it is with him who lacks the one, that is, the entire right hand, which attracts that in which it is deficient, seizes it from the left side, and transfers it to the right. In this way, then, the number becomes 100. This number signifies the Father. He labored, even on the Sabbath, for the sheep which he found fallen into the pit. He saved the life of that sheep, bringing it up from the pit, in order that you may understand fully what that Sabbath is, you who possess full understanding. It is the day in which it is not fitting that salvation be idle, so that you may speak of that heavenly day which has no night, and of the sun which does not set, because it is perfect. Say then in your heart that you are this perfect day, and that in you the light which does not fail dwells. Speak concerning the truth to those who seek it, and of knowledge to those who, in their error, have committed sin. Make sure-footed those who stumble, and stretch forth your hands to the sick. Nourish the hungry, and set at ease those who are troubled. Foster men who love. Raise up and awaken those who sleep. For you are this understanding which encourages. If the strong follow this course, they are even stronger. Turn your attention to yourselves. Do not be concerned with other things, namely that which you have cast forth from yourselves, that which you have dismissed. Do not return to them to eat them. Do not be moth-eaten. Do not be worm-eaten, for you have already shaken it off. Do not be a place of the devil, for you have already destroyed him. Do not strengthen your last obstacles, because that is reprehensible. For the lawless one is nothing. He harms himself more than the law. For that one does his works because he is a lawless person. But this one, because he is a righteous person, does his works among others. Do the will of the Father then, for you are from him. For the Father is sweet, and his will is good. He knows the things that are yours, so that you may rest yourselves in them. For by the fruits one knows the things that are yours, that they are the children of the Father, and one knows his aroma, that you originate from the grace of his countenance. For this reason the Father loved his aroma, and it manifests itself in every place. And when it is mixed with matter, he gives his aroma to the light, and into his rest he causes it to ascend in every form and in every sound. For there are no nostrils which smell the aroma, but it is the Spirit which possesses the sense of smell, and it draws it for itself to itself, and sinks into the aroma of the Father. He is indeed the place for it, and he takes it to the place from which it has come. In the first aroma, which is cold, it is something in a psychic form, resembling cold water which is absorbed, since it is in soil which is not hard, of which those who see it think, it is earth. Afterwards, it becomes soft again. If a breath is taken, it is usually hot. The cold aromas, then, are from the division. For this reason, God came and destroyed the division, and he brought the hot fullness of love, so that the cold may not return, but the unity of the perfect thought prevail. This is the word of the gospel of the finding of the fullness for those who wait for the salvation which comes from above. When their hope, for which they are waiting, is waiting, they whose likeness is the light in which there is no shadow, then at that time the fullness is about to come. The deficiency of matter, however, is not because of the limitlessness of the Father who comes at the time of the deficiency. And yet no one is able to say that the incorruptible will come in this manner. But the depth of the Father is increasing, and the thought of error is not with him. It is a matter of falling down, and a matter of readily being set upright at the finding of that one who has come to him who will turn back. For this turning back is called repentance. For this reason, incorruption has breathed. It followed him who has sinned in order that he may find rest. For forgiveness is that which remains for the light in the deficiency, the word of the fullness. For the physician hurries to the place in which there is sickness, because that is the desire which he has. The sick man is in a deficient condition, but he does not hide himself because the physician possesses that which he lacks. In this manner, the deficiency is filled by the fullness, which has no deficiency, which has given itself out in order to fill the one who is deficient, so that grace may take him, then, from the area which is deficient and has no grace. Because of this, a diminishing occurred in the place where there is no grace. The area where the one who is small, who is deficient, is taken hold of. He revealed himself as a fullness, the finding of the light of truth which has shined towards him, because he is unchangeable. For this reason, they who have been troubled speak about Christ in their midst, so that they may receive a return, and he may anoint them with the ointment. The ointment is the pity of the Father, who will have mercy on them. But those whom he has anointed are those who are perfect. For the filled vessels are those that are customarily used for anointing. But when an anointing is finished, the vessel is usually empty, and the cause of its deficiency is the consumption of its ointment. For then a breath is drawn only through the power which he has. But the one who is without deficiency, one does not trust anyone beside him, nor does one pour anything out. But that which is deficient is filled again by the perfect Father. He is good. He knows his plantings, because he is the one who has planted them in his paradise. And his paradise is his place of rest. This is the perfection in the thought of the Father, and these are the words of his reflection. Each one of his words is the work of his will alone, in the revelation of his word. Since they were in the depth of his mind, the word, who was the first to come forth, caused them to appear, along with an intellect which speaks the unique word by means of a silent grace. It was called thought, since they were in it before becoming manifest. It happened then that it was the first to come forth, at the moment pleasing to the will of him who desired it, And it is in the will that the Father is at rest, and with which he is pleased. Nothing happens without him, nor does anything occur without the will of the Father. But his will is incomprehensible. His will is his mark, but no one can know it, nor is it possible for them to concentrate on it in order to possess it. But that which he wishes takes place at the moment he wishes it, even if the view does not please anyone. It is God's will. For the Father knows the beginning of them all as well as their end. For when their end arrives, he will question them to their faces. The end, you see, is the recognition of him who is hidden, that is, the Father, from whom the beginning came forth, and to whom will return all who have come from him. For they were made manifest for the glory and the joy of his name. And the name of the Father is the Son. It is he who, in the beginning, gave a name to him who came forth from him. He is the same one, and he begat him for a son. He gave him his name, which belonged to him, he, the Father, who possesses everything which exists around him. He possesses the name. He has the Son. It is possible for them to see him. The name, however, is invisible, for it alone is the mystery of the invisible about to come to ears completely filled with it through the Father's agency. Moreover, as for the Father, his name is not pronounced, but it is revealed through a son. Thus, then, the name is great. Who then has been able to pronounce a name for him, this great name, except him alone to whom the name belongs, and the sons of the name in whom the name of the Father is at rest, and who themselves in turn are at rest in his name, since the Father has no beginning? It is he alone who engendered it for himself, as a name in the beginning, before he had created the eternal ones, that the name of the Father should be over their heads as a Lord, that is, the real name which is secure by his authority and by his perfect power. For the name is not drawn from lexicons, nor is his name derived from common name-giving, but it is invisible. He gave a name to himself alone because he alone saw it, and because he alone was capable of giving himself a name. For he who does not exist has no name. For what name would one give him who did not exist? Nevertheless, he who exists also with his name, and he alone knows it, and to him alone the Father gave a name, the Son is his name. He did not, therefore, keep it secretly hidden, but the Son came into existence. He himself gave a name to him. The name, then, is that of the Father, just as the name of the Father is the Son. For otherwise, where would compassion find a name outside of the Father? But someone will probably say to his companion, who would give a name to someone who existed before himself? As if indeed children did not receive their name from one of those who gave them birth. Above all, then, it is fitting for us to think this point over. What is the name? It is the real name. It is, indeed, the name which came from the Father, for it is he who owns the name. He did not, you see, get the name on loan, as in the case of others, because of the form in which each one of them is going to be created. This, then, is the authoritative name. There is no one else to whom he has given it, but it remained unnamed, unuttered, till the moment when he who is perfect pronounced it himself, and it was he alone who was able to pronounce his name and to see it. When it pleased him, then, that his Son should be his pronounced name, and when he gave this name to him, he who has come from the depth spoke of his secrets, because he knew that the Father was absolute goodness. For this reason, indeed, he sent this particular one in order that he might speak concerning the place and his place of rest from which he had come forth, and that he might glorify the fullness, the greatness of his name, and the sweetness of his Father. Each one will speak concerning the place from which he has come forth, and to the region from which he received his essential being, he will hasten to return once again. And he went from that place. the place where he was, because he tasted of that place, as he was nourished and grew, and his own place of rest is his fullness. All the emanations from the Father, therefore, are fullnesses, and all his emanations have their roots in the one who caused them all to grow from himself. He appointed a limit. They then became manifest individually in order that they might be in their own thought, for that place to which they extend their thoughts is their root, which lifts them upward through all the heights to the Father. They reach his head, which is rest for them, and they remain there near to it, so that they say that they have participated in his face by means of embraces. But these of this kind were not manifest, because they have not risen above themselves, neither have they been deprived of the glory of the Father, nor have they thought of him as small, nor bitter, nor angry, but as absolutely good, unperturbed, sweet, knowing all the spaces before they came into existence, and having no need of instruction. Such are they who possess from above something of this immeasurable greatness, as they strain towards that unique and perfect one who exists there for them. And they do not go down to Hades. They have neither envy nor moaning, nor is death in them, but they rest in him who rests, without wearying themselves or becoming involved in the search for truth. But they, indeed, are the truth, and the Father is in them, and they are in the Father, since they are perfect, inseparable from him who is truly good. They lack nothing in any way, but they are given rest and are refreshed by the Spirit, and they listen to their root. They have leisure for themselves, they in whom he will find his root, and he will suffer no loss to his soul. Such is the place of the blessed. This is their place. As for the others, then, may they know in their place that it does not suit me, after having been in the place of rest, to say anything more. But he is the one in whom I shall be, in order to devote myself at all times to the Father of the creation, and the true brothers, those upon whom the love of the Father is lavished, and in whose midst nothing of him is lacking. It is they who manifest themselves truly, since they are in that true and eternal life, and speak of the perfect light filled with the seed of the Father, and which is in his heart, and in the fullness, while his Spirit rejoices in it, and glorifies him in whom it was, because the Father is good, and because he is the Father. His children are perfect and worthy of his name. Those whom he loves are children of this kind.